This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's eternal, unbroken word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, inviting you to stay tuned now for God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton, on this subject, false faith. You stay tuned now to hear the message.
I thought there's only one kind of faith. No, there isn't. There is a true faith, a saving faith. Then there is a false faith, or a faith of the flesh, or we'll call satanic faith. Now you said, I didn't know that. Yes, the devils believe and tremble, but they are not saved. Are you? Satan, as an imitator, pulls his trump card in the realm of faith. Satan is the greatest imitator when it comes to faith than probably any other realm of religious experience. We're living in a day when so much is made of faith. They talk about great faith, the exercise of your faith, putting your faith to work, turning your faith loose. All such expressions are satanic. And I'll stake my eternal destiny upon that statement, that all such statements about faith that I've just made are satanic. There is a faith that is satanic, that is of the flesh, which is not saving faith. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, Christ, I am nothing. Paul recognized here that there's a faith, a great faith, exercised by the flesh, that is not saving faith. That is not the faith of God's elect. You hear much today about the image of faith, or faith image. Individuals who are always talking about their faith and exercising great faith, get it now? Let me repeat that statement. Let me repeat it. The individuals who are always talking about their faith, exercising great faith, do not know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. I do not hesitate to boldly make this statement. You get it. When you hear anyone talking about his faith and putting the emphasis on faith, you take note that his faith is his God. And that's all he knows. That's what he worships. His faith. Most of the books written on prayer today emphasizes faith, the exercise of faith to secure what that individual wants. Not what they need, mostly what they want. That faith that the average book on prayer talks about is nothing in the world but soul force put forth to get what they want. It is not the faith of God's elect. Such individuals will tell you, oh, if you only have faith, this will or that will happen to you. They make a god of faith. Faith is the object of their worship. Such faith is satanic. It is the faith of the flesh, is of the earth, and savors nothing of our God. Now, brother, I'm putting my finger on something this morning that I wish you'd listen. I wish you'd listen. I'm going right down the line, as it were, putting my finger right on your trouble and the trouble of 99% of our religious people who live in that realm. Faith is a gift from God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Therefore, if it's a gift of God, no sinner outside of grace has faith. Huh? That's true. faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Faith is of grace. Acts 18:27. And they believed through grace. If that's so, then no sinner has faith. You have only a heart of unbelief. There is such a thing as increasing in faith, because Christ said, "Oh, you have little faith." But faith is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Saving faith, living faith, is the faith of the Son of God that is given to the individual when he comes to know Christ as his Lord and his Savior. There's no such saving faith or living faith apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is not a great faith that the born-again believer has. It's a great Christ. Huh? Did you get that statement? It's not a great faith that the believer has. It's a great Christ. The born-again believer is always putting the emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on his faith, but the unsaved religionist is always putting the emphasis on faith instead of on Christ. You see the difference there? Because he knows that the only faith he has is the faith of the Son of God. The individual who is always making over his faith has not the faith of the Son of God. He has the faith of the flesh, and that's satanic. That's a false faith. Such a faith he is always having to build up, prop up, work up, pray up, keep up. And many, many of you, you just have to pray and work and read and build up such a faith. But the faith of the Son of God lives within. It's a gift. It's wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to exercise any energy of the flesh or the mind to believe. You don't have to keep it worked up. Such a faith does not have to use any coercion to believe God's word or to lay hold of Christ. Now, there's a vast difference here, and I wish you would study it. My friends, I've touched upon something this morning in the realm of which Satan works that's absolutely destroying everything in the world in regard to your salvation. That's right. That's right. You listen again. How does the individual receive such faith, the faith of God's elect? You said, "Pastor, if I don't have the faith, God's faith, the faith of Christ, faith that comes by grace, faith is a come by gift, if I don't have that, how may I obtain it?" Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. All right, listen. How does the individual receive such faith? The faith of God's elect. There is no such thing as saving faith apart from repentance. Here is an individual who says, "Well, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe Him, but I don't know anything about repentance. I do not know if I have repented. Am I saved?" Certainly you're not saved. You don't know anything about salvation. You have a superstructure, religious superstructure built on faith that has no foundation. Repentance is the foundation of saving faith. Such faith is not the gift of God. God does not give faith to that heart, regardless of what they know, apart from repentance. And I don't care who you are. You may be a millionaire sitting there in your mansion. You may be a pauper out on the street. You may be a learned professor in your chair of learning. But, my friend, unless you have repented, there is no such thing as saving faith in your heart. If you have built your religious superstructure or religious life without repentance, then your faith is void. It is not saving faith. You cannot have faith in Christ, that is saving faith in Christ, until you have repented. Now, you may believe Christ as a historical character. That is, just like you believe that George Washington was the President of the United States. But that isn't saving faith. Let me read you Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, you cannot have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ until you have repented toward God. You may ask me why. Well, let's go back to the statement in our last study that the sinner meets God at the mercy seat, but God meets the sinner in repentance. You can come to the mercy seat all you want to, sinner. You can plead the blood of Christ until you're blue in the face. But you ought to plead the blood of Christ, but unless you have repented, God is not going to hear you or meet you there. But when once you have repented, that is, when you have come to the mercy seat as a broken-hearted, guilty, condemned sinner, seeing that you are to blame, when you come, as it were, with a rope around your neck, God says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembleth at my word. Such a sinner coming to the mercy seat, God will meet you there. That's repentance toward God. God will meet you there, and he'll give you faith to receive him when he comes, when he's revealed unto your heart. Do you get that? Now, my friends, perhaps you're wondering why you have not been saved. It's because you have not repented. Huh? It's not that you've not repented enough. No, no. Repentance is not in quantity. Uh-uh. You either repent or you don't repent. And the reason you're not saved, you haven't repented. So you better get on your knees and start repenting. Well, what is repentance? Acknowledging to God what he shows you about your wicked heart and life. And many an individual has halted right there. God has showed you what you are by nature, who you are by nature, and the judgment you're under, and you won't have it. And you're locked right there because you will not acknowledge what God has showed you about yourself. All right? Then, God saves every repentant sinner. He puts himself under obligation to save that sinner when he repents, when he comes to the mercy seat, when he comes to Christ taking his place as a lost, guilty sinner. Brother, that's where God meets every sinner who's ever saved. Sinner friend, are you coming to the mercy seat like that? God will meet you there. That's repentance toward God. When the Holy Spirit has wrought faith in your heart toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and your only object of faith in it is Christ, you're not thinking about your faith. No, you're not. Uh-uh. You're not thinking about your faith because, brother, you have lain there so long with no faith at all. You cannot believe Christ. You cannot believe. And you saw your heart of unbelief. You couldn't believe. There you lay in the dust of repentance. And, brother, then when God opened your heart and gave you saving faith, faith of the Son of God, you begin to cry, not for faith, but I want Christ. I want Christ. I want Christ. And then you'll say, Lord, give me faith to trust Christ. Give me faith to just trust him. I want him. I can't live without him. And you don't care how little faith, how much faith God gives you, my brother, that's the faith of the Son of God that lays hold of the revealed Christ to the human heart. That faith is a gift of God. And when the Holy Spirit has revealed Christ to such a heart at the mercy seat, then the individual can lay hold of Christ, the object of his faith, because the Holy Spirit has wrought faith in the heart through the Word of God. Then it is no coercion at all. You say, well, I'll declare, wasn't that easy? Now, there he is. There's Christ. Yes, he is. And I believe him. I trust him. He's mine. You can believe his promises. You can believe his word. Well, you see, the Holy Spirit did the work. He wrought faith in the heart when he revealed Christ, the object of faith. And that faith then, the faith of the Son of God, laid hold of Christ, lays hold of Christ, the sinner's substitute. Isn't that marvelous? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that's saving faith. But it is not faith that stands out in that individual's life. It's not faith that stands out. What is it? It's Christ. It's Christ. He hardly recognizes that he has any faith. He's been crying, Lord, I believe. Help thou thy unbelief. No, that is the thing that stands out. The thing that stands out before he gets to Christ is he has no faith. Then when he gets to Christ, the thing that stands out is the Son of God revealed to your heart as Lord and Savior. And not your faith. It is Christ that stands out. It is Christ he's talking about. The born-again believer is not talking about his great faith. He is talking about his great Christ, the Son of God. You see the emphasis? You see where the world has put the emphasis? Where the unsaved world has put the emphasis on faith. And that's where Satan has tricked the average individual today. You're talking about your faith, or you may be talking about your repentance, what you think repentance is, and talking about what you know, and how much you know, and all such things as that. And the thing that stands out in your life is your faith, what you have done. But to the born-again believer, the thing that stands out in his heart and life is Christ, the Son of God, who died for him on Calvary's cross. Brother, you asked me if I got into faith this morning. I don't know. But I'll tell you what I do have. I have the greatest Savior that God ever gave to a poor, old, wretched sinner like me. And he gave me enough of faith to trust him, and that's all that I care for. But the thing that stands out in my heart and life is Christ, the Son of God, as my Redeemer, my near kinsman, my substitute, my sin offering, my Lord, and my Christ. God help us in this hour. Yes, sir, Bob. That's what it is. And what a contrast then between the faith of the Son of God and the so-called great faith today that is hooped up and blowed up and puffed up among so-called Christians. Brother, it's nauseating to say the least. Do you see the difference? A faith that is given to you doesn't have to be worked up, prayed up, read up, or kept up in any way. The oil of grace is constantly being poured in that heart by the Holy Spirit. And then when you read and meditate upon the Word of God, it is so easy. And you see Christ in every Scripture, and you're not conscious of your faith, and you're conscious of the Christ that's constantly revealed through and in the Word, the Bible. Now you see it? All right, I know I'm speaking to many who have no faith at all, or who do not even try to exercise any faith. You're just driftwood in the church or out of the church, whether you're a preacher or a teacher, and you don't pretend to exercise any faith at all. Your whole life is built on trial and error. I was talking with a great city, so-called great city missionary, one day. And I asked him, I said, let's wait on God and see what God wants us to do before we make a move. And he said, well, I don't know anything about that. The only thing I know is trial and error. We'll try this. If it works out, we'll say it's of God. If it doesn't work out, it's not of God. I said, my life, I don't live a life like that. You go ahead. My life isn't lived like that. All right, listen. Your whole life is built on trial and error. You live in a state of anxiety, in a state of fear. You do not know which way you're going or what you're doing. May the Holy Spirit open your heart and let you see yourself as a lost sinner, as a guilty sinner, and bring you to the place of repentance where you come to know the faith of the Son of God and have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls us in fellowship with Christ. Thereby you can trust Christ. You can walk with him by faith, because perfect love casteth out fear, and you walk with him in love and fellowship, knowing that he doth all things well. Yes, Satan, in the role of an imitator, pulls every trump card he can to keep his dupes fooled in thinking they're saved when they're lost. It does not matter what you want. Satan will give it to you just to keep you blinded. If our gospel be hid, said Paul, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let me say again that Satan can imitate any Christian experience that the Holy Spirit gives except life. I don't care what experience the Holy Spirit gives, Satan can trump it. Let me read our scripture text again, 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to thy works. What a scripture. Makes your hair stand up on top of your head, doesn't it, when you think about the awfulness of it. I want you to notice that expression, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. We want to examine some more of the imitations of Satan. Every born-again believer knows there are emotions when the Holy Spirit brings a sinner to Christ, and Christ indwells the heart of that born-again believer. But those emotions are vastly different from the emotions of Satan-indwelt individuals. Satan capitalizes on this fact that every believer wants something tangible to hold to as his assurance that he is saved. Now that's it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are a learned Bible teacher. You want something definite to hold to as an assurance, something tangible that you can hold to as assurance of your salvation. In the 4th chapter of John, we find the story of a nobleman whose son was sick. He came to the Lord Jesus asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus said to him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now, that is the thing that the average individual wants in religion. He wants signs and wonders as an evidence that God has answered his prayers or that God has saved him. I don't care who he is. That's what every individual wants. The Holy Spirit in bringing a sinner to Christ. Get it now? Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Every sinner that the Holy Spirit brings to Christ, he has to tear down, blast out, and separate the sinner from all of his desires after a sign or a vision or self-righteousness or something tangible as an assurance that God has saved him. When the nobleman kept arguing to the Lord Jesus Christ to come and go home with him, Christ said, go thy way, thy son liveth. That's all the evidence that Jesus gave him. Well, what was it? His naked word. Now, I'll tell you, my friends, that's the evidence that I have today that I'm a saved sinner, is the naked word of God. He said it. I believe it. That's all. The scripture says that the man believed him and went his way. I want to tell you, my friends, listen, you'll believe the word of God or go to hell. That's the basis. That's the basis, the foundation of our faith is the word of God. Not a vision, not a dream, not a religious experience, not anything but the naked word of God. On another occasion, the Jews asked Jesus for a sign. He said, to this crooked generation, I'll not give a sign except the sign of Jonah. Then he said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Christ was saying to this group of Jews who were seeking a sign, I'm going to be crucified and buried, and I'm going to rise from the dead. He that believeth on me shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's the only sign that God gives any sinner coming to him. He'll not let you rest on anything tangible, but you must come to rest upon Christ as lifted up or revealed through his word. You must come to rest, not upon your faith, but upon the Word of God, and rest upon Christ, the living Word. The written Word and the living Word of God, the living Word of God, which is Christ, and the written Word of God go hand in hand. The living Word of God, which is Christ, is revealed through the written Word of God and nowhere else.
To close another message from God's Word, the title of the message that you heard was False Faith by Pastor L.R. Shelton, our late pastor here. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, inviting you to write for this message. It's number 436. You can receive it by title or by this number 436. And pray for us. Would you do that? Goodbye, and God bless you.